at Lobby H of Domino's Farms. For more information, go to hearttoheartcwa.com.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
I'm speechless. I could not tell you. I literally can't even put it into words, but couldn't be happier.
It's one of the best feelings I've ever had.
This is not only the victory for the Americans who defended their democracy against the liberal globalist elites. This is the victory that American people brought to the whole world.
I'm just in shock. I'm just totally, totally out. I just can't believe it. I think it's a humiliation for the whole country.
I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory.
In some ways it's over now, but in so many ways the work is just beginning. Good morning. It is November 9th, 2016, an historic upset by Republican candidate for President Donald Trump, bigger than anyone expected. Wow. And if it can render someone like me, who speaks for a living, speechless, then you know it's a big story. I was on with Annie Mitchell this morning talking about the media and how the media basically had their heads handed to them on a silver platter in terms of the way they were in collusion, which of course was alleged and in all cases based on the way they were handling the situation proven. So many things up against the conservatives in this election. And yet, like never before, people came together and people prayed. Our evangelical brothers and sisters, we got to go out and give them a big hug as well because their vote was huge. I was just on the phone with one of my best friends, Lynn from Dayton, Ohio. You hear me talk about her an awful lot. We've known each other for over 20 years, and she's a very, very devout evangelical sister, her and her husband Don, and we're just, I don't know, it's incredible. I have to say that I was surprised because I really felt this heaviness in my heart. You could hear me yesterday on the radio when I was reading Ephesians 6. And my heart was breaking. And it's not about the quote-unquote Republican Party or a particular candidate. What I was looking at, as we've been talking here on Ave Maria Radio and EWTN, what I was looking at was God's plan for marriage, for family, for life, these agendas, and looking at the way the Little Sisters of the Poor and health care and EWTN and all of us who are out there on the front lines trying to live out our faith as believers, following the Constitution, our rights that are guaranteed to us by the Constitution and, of course, more importantly, by God. And everything was crumbling, and it seemed to be crumbling fast. But the Lord tells us in the Old Testament, if my people will humble themselves and pray. And I've never seen so many people praying so hard. I know that Monday night at our Mass at St. Isaac's, after Mass, we, of course, had adoration, and we began that with a Divine Mercy chaplet. And I never prayed a Divine Mercy chaplet so hard in my life. I never prayed so much in my life. And again, we're not talking about being crazy about one particular party over the other. What we're talking about is what does this represent in terms of our culture. And maybe now, as I said, in some ways, the election is over, so something has ended, but the work just begins. And we now have an opportunity to turn things around for decency, for marriage and family in this country, because not only did the conservatives win the White House, but they also won and remained in control of both Congress, both houses of the House and the Senate. So this is huge. So we're going to be talking about this morning in great detail, and we'll open up the phone lines at 8:15. Father Frank Bavone from Priests for Life is going to be joining us to give us his take. What does this mean for the pro-life issue? Now, there was some sad news out of Colorado. Unfortunately, their assisted suicide measure did pass. And so, again, you know, we have a lot of work to do. And we have to keep these politicians' feet to the fire, because the whole reason, what they're saying on a lot of the talk shows this morning, the whole reason people voted this way is because people were so frustrated with the establishment, both Republican establishment and Democratic establishment, not getting anything done. And they felt that this is time to bring in a breath of fresh air and something different to break from the norm. Really a David and Goliath situation. I did not think this was going to happen. I was pretty much prepared to come on the air this morning and to encourage us to keep going no matter what, which is always the case. But again, when we come and when we pray, and so many people were begging God, Lord, like Lot, right, with Sodom and Gomorrah, if there's one righteous person, please, please, please save us. I know so many of you have been working so hard, especially on the pro-life side. So we'll talk about this, your thoughts and how you were praying and what you were seeing in your own area. And Michigan, for those of us who are in Michigan, it's still out. It's very, very close. We're up like about, I think the last time I heard, about 10 to 8 this morning, about 100,000 votes. But the Trump ticket won Florida, which was huge, North Carolina, which was huge, Ohio, which was huge. And then, of course, a number started coming in where he was winning in Pennsylvania, and then that's brought him over the top. But this is a time for us to come together and to reach out. And as Carl Anderson from the head of the Knights of Columbus said earlier this weekend, I think it was on Friday, he gave a beautiful talk saying, whatever happens, and as Donald Trump said last night, when he came out after the numbers were finalized, he said, you know what, it's time for us to work together. And he even made an appeal to those who have been attacking him and insulting him. He says, I know there's a lot of people who don't like me out there, but we have to work together for the country. So this is a time for us not to gloat, but a time to thank God and to make sure we are working together and to pray for those who did oppose the pro-life votes and the marriage votes and the family votes. And just to remember that we all have to work together. So we'll start out by talking with Father Frank Bavone at 8:15, and of course taking your calls as well. And then we're also going to be talking with Ed Rivett at 8:45. What does this mean for Michigan and the Midwest in terms of right to life? What are we looking at? What can we get done now? What will be done differently? And how much impact does this have locally on us? In our national hour, we'll be hearing from you again, Father Mitch Pacwa, also joining us at 9:15. And then we're also going to check in with Rob Muse. What are we going to see in terms of religious freedom here? I know Rob is probably going to be talking to us about the importance of these different positions at the judiciary, whether we're talking about the Supreme Court or federal judgeships. This is huge because I think there were 90 spots that were open. And so in terms of pro-life legislation, in terms of this ideology with transgender bathrooms, there's all kinds of stuff that can happen here. How quickly will this unfold? What are we going to see? We've got some great people to share their thoughts and their insights with us. And what are we required to do as believers? Again, we don't go around gloating, na, 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 na. We say, praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. What can we do to uphold the dignity of every human person from conception until natural death? So I'm anxious to hear your thoughts, and we'll open up the phone lines right now, and Andrew will take some calls. In the meantime, we do have to get to the news. I want to just remind you, this is a feast day of the dedication of the Basilica of St. John Lateran, which, of course, is the Pope's Basilica. That is the Basilica of Rome, and that's the Pope's chair there. Everybody thinks it's St. Peter's, but it's actually St. John Lateran. And I was looking at the readings today, and I thought, wow, the Lord's Word, right? Never comes back to us void. The second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, you are God's building, according to the grace of God given to me. Like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But each of us, each one of us, must be careful how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one that there is, namely Jesus Christ. Do you know that you are a temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone destroy God's temple, God will destroy that person, for the temple of God, which you are, is holy. And brothers and sisters, we need to reach out to those who have fallen away and thought that supporting issues such as abortion and so-called same-sex marriage and transgender ideology was good for the country and good for the world. We have to reach out to them in all humility and love and talk to them about who they are as temples of the Holy Spirit, temples of the Lord, created again in his image and likeness. So I look forward to doing that with you as we continue here on Catholic Connection. 877-573-7825. Going to have some rain today, but it certainly is sunny in our hearts. And hopefully it's going to clear up by the weekend. More on the weather a little bit later. But we do have, obviously, a lot of news to get through, so let's do that right now on a Wednesday morning, the Feast of the Dedication of St. John Lateran, and the day after, probably one of the most historic presidential elections in decades. Let's see what's happening in and around the world on Wednesday, November 9th. Well, as Scott Pringle reports, and as you can imagine, sheer joy coming from Donald Trump's camp this morning.
One of Donald Trump's biggest supporters is former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, and he's all smiles here.
This is the people revolting against a Washington establishment that doesn't seem to be able to get anything done, whether it's the president, the former Secretary of State, or for that matter, a lot of the Congress.
Giuliani says he's feeling very happy for his friend Trump and even happier for his country. At Trump headquarters in Midtown, Scott Pringle, New York.
Donald Trump, meanwhile, saying he stands ready to reach out to those who don't see eye to eye with him as he prepares to become the nation's next president. That's a word from Trump's campaign manager, Kellyanne Conway, who says he will be a president for all of the people. She says Trump got a fair number also of African-American and Hispanic votes on his way to victory. Meanwhile, after Donald Trump pulled off what was for many a surprising huge victory in the U.S. election, the Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, offering his prayers that the new president-elect would promote peace in a world torn by conflict. First of all, he said, we take note with respect the will of all the American people in this exercise of democracy, which they tell me was characterized by a large turnout. He went on to say, we then congratulate the new president so that his government can be truly fruitful. He also was assured of our prayers that the Lord will illuminate him and sustain him in the service of his homeland naturally, but also of the peace and well-being of the world. He added, I believe today is needed for everyone to work to change a global situation, which is a situation of serious and grave conflict. Well, President Obama is congratulating Donald Trump on winning the White House. Trump's campaign manager, Kellyanne Conway, telling NBC's Today Show this morning, Obama called Trump last night and they had, quote, a warm and great conversation. Conway adding the two men agreed to work together to, in her words, help unify and heal the country. Conway adding Trump and Obama will be meeting to help ensure a smooth and peaceful transition of power, and that meeting will reportedly take place tomorrow. And there's no shortage of security or excitement, as you heard a little bit earlier, outside Trump Towers this morning. Supporters continuing to celebrate Donald Trump's stunning win over Hillary Clinton, including this man, Stephen, who says it's about time the pollsters stop making assumptions about how union folks vote and feel.
You know, and we're union members here, too, strong union members that support Trump. So don't think all union want to vote liberal.
Hillary Clinton campaign chair, meanwhile, John Podesta, briefly addressing supporters in the Big Apple last night as reports started to come in that Clinton had called rival Donald Trump to concede the election.
We are so proud of you.
Podesta spoke to supporters at the Javits Center who gathered to celebrate a Clinton victory. Instead, there were images of some people crying as the night clearly had not gone their way. Republicans, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, will retain the control of the Senate and the House. Senate Republicans are projected to hang on or are now hanging on to seats in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Indiana, Ohio, Missouri, and Florida. Democrats are projected to hold a seat in Nevada where longtime Senator Harry Reid is retiring. Reid's handpicked successor, Catherine Cortez Masto, was set to become the first Latino ever elected to the Senate there. Democrats needed to flip 30 seats to regain control of the House and will not come close. Wisconsin Republican Paul Ryan expected to seek another term as Speaker of the House. Now, here's some sad news last night and news that we still have a lot of work to do. Colorado voters approving a measure on the ballot that would make Colorado, according to LifeNews.com, the next state to legalize assisted suicide, targeting disabled and elderly. The ballot proposal coming after the state legislature defeating bills to legalize assisted suicide. Leading pro-life disability rights, religious and medical groups publicly opposed the ballot measure. California, Oregon, Washington, and Vermont are the only four states to have legalized assisted suicide. The euthanasia group Compassion and quote-unquote Choices finance a yes campaign, and its state group Yes on Colorado End of Life Options spent $2.9 million to reserve TV ad time Campaign finance records show it also paid a national company another $344,000 to help gather signatures. And also happening, of course, and the experts say this is very common when new things happen in the federal government, the stock market is just going crazy, and not in a good way. It's sharply dropping as Republican Donald Trump's chances of winning the election improved. Now, the Dow futures dropping overnight by more than 700 points.
That was kind of the feeling going into the election today, that there was almost no chance Trump was going to win. And now with all these states falling for him, it looks like he does have a pretty good chance of winning. And the stock markets are plummeting around the world.
Okay, so that was last night as it looked that Trump was getting closer to a victory. Now, the possibility last night of that presidency also sent shockwaves through markets around the world, as you just heard, as investors worried about the uncertainty. Asian markets saw a 2% fall. The U.S. dollar has not been spared as its value was dropping against major world currencies. The Mexican peso, perhaps the hardest hit after falling more than 10% against the dollar. However, experts are saying this is exactly what happened with the Brexit vote in, of course, Great Britain, which was also a huge surprise. Everybody thought it was going to go the opposite way, and that was a huge upset. So they had issues there with the markets. But the experts on the different talk shows and the different websites I've been looking at, because I've been up all night, are saying that that will be settling once they learn more about the present situation in Washington that's beginning to change. Okay, 816. Phone lines are open, 877-573-7825. Now, this is a great victory for family and life efforts across the country and around the world because of our influence around the world. But it doesn't mean our work is done. We have a lot of work to do. The new evangelization must continue. We don't just sit back on our laurels and say, isn't this great? We celebrate for a day. But then we have to roll up our sleeves and get out there and make a difference for life, for marriage, and for family. And most importantly, of course, that means for Jesus. Yay, Jesus! Sorry, just had to say that. Okay. Oh, before I break, a little interesting incident that happened last night when I was watching the coverage very nervously with my remote in hand, going back and forth to the different news networks. And I was getting very nervous, and I could feel my heart rate increasing. So I said, okay, I need to take about a 10-minute break from this. So I just happened to flip over, and I wasn't feeling very up at that point. I was still feeling kind of down, like, I don't know if this is going to happen, and my mind's racing. I'm thinking about the assisted suicide measures. I'm thinking about abortion mostly. I'm thinking about marriage. I'm thinking about the attacks on the church, and I'm just getting really, really nervous. And so I flip over to one of the movie channels, and the film Risen, the Joseph Fiennes was on. A beautiful film came out last year, obviously, about the resurrection. He plays a Roman official who is charged by Pilate to confirm the death of Yeshua because of the uprising that he had called, right? We know the story. And it's a beautifully done film. And I just happened to flip the channel, and I don't think it's a coincidence. It was a God sentence because I was just getting really nervous and doubting again. Oh, ye of little faith. And so I turn the channel, and I land on, right at that very moment, the scene when Clavius shows up at the upper room and sees Jesus. And Jesus looks right at him, and he drops his weapon, he drops his sword, and is saying, how can this be? I watched you die on the cross. And he is just stunned, frozen. And one of the other Roman soldiers comes across and starts calling him and says, have you found anything? Have you found anything? And he says, no, no, no. And he's still standing there in complete shock. And then it hit me, and I could, you know, hear in my heart of hearts the Lord saying, remember, I rose from the dead. It's okay. I can do this. This can happen. Have some faith. Anyway, wow. 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 818. We'll be right back.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
Scripture is filled with images of light coming from God to help and guide us. In the Psalms we sing to God, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, and the Lord God enlightens my darkness. The prophet Isaiah exhorts, arise, for your light has come, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. In John's Gospel, this light is revealed as Jesus, the one who was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. These verses call us to have comfort, knowing that God is leading us, through his word in scripture, and through his word made flesh. During times of confusion or challenges, we can turn in prayer to our Bibles and to Jesus, asking for God's light to lead us on our paths. To learn more about the light offered by God's word, visit the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan, cbsmich.org, or on Facebook.
No two lives are completely parallel, not even with identical twins. Each of us serve a purpose and venture down various paths. Our hills and valleys may resemble one another at times, but they're never exactly the same. As Christians, we're called to celebrate in the joyous times and support each other in moments of tribulation and despair. However, all too often I witness the opposite, the envy for those whose lives are going well and a sense of happiness when things look bad. Instead, we as Christians should strive to communicate joy in the lives of all. We can do this by evangelizing our faith. God's presence and character produce joy. The confidence of being saved brings joy. There's joy in being victorious over the enemy. So whether someone is experiencing success or is facing serious problems, be the Christian who brings them joy by communicating a message of gratitude for our blessings and faith that God will see us through the tough times. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, the communication evangelist.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies.
Welcome back. It's 8:22. If that doesn't give you chills and bring tears to your eyes, I don't know what does. Beautiful rendition of God Bless America by Martina McBride. FF, Father Frank, National Director of Priests for Life. I don't even know where to begin, Father. What a night. Oh, my goodness.
Deo gratias. Victory.
Oh, my
victory.
Goodness. Oh, my goodness.
This is a tremendous day for America and for the church. You know, we've been talking for not just months. We've been talking for years about the importance of this election. And, you know, for the last 8 years, there's been a significant portion of the public who thought that, oh, this is great progress for America. This is wonderful. And then those of us, on the other hand, who were saying this is a disaster. Well, today we have a certain segment of the population saying, oh, this is a disaster. But you know what? Now it's our turn to say this is wonderful. This is where we are recovering the right direction. We're going to recover the right direction for our poor public policy. And now the work begins to actually implement that. The significance of having the White House, the House of Representatives, and
the
Senate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All in pro-life hands cannot be overstressed. I want people to understand when those three align in that particular way, then you can get pro-life legislation passed in Congress and sent to the desk of the president, who will actually sign it. Things like the defunding of Planned Parenthood, the pain-capable unborn child protection act, the no taxpayer funding for abortion, measures like that. Protection of the Hyde Amendment, and then, of course, not to mention, you know, with a pro-life Senate, now you've got the appointment of judges who are all nominees going to be pro-life. You have that a much easier process as well. So this is such a great victory.
877-573-7825, chatting with Father Frank Bavone. This is Normal Spot, of course, every week, and today we are concentrating on the results of the election and how we move forward to unify and to reach out to those who disagree with us on these issues and to witness to them. Let's go to the phones. Our friend Terry calling from Plymouth, Michigan this morning. Hey, Terry, what's on your mind and your heart? And thanks for all your support of Ave Maria Radio. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for, you had to listen to some of my concerns during the week, and I appreciate your listening here. Two things, and I'll be quick. Father, I know you're a member of the Catholic Advisory Committee to Trump. Will that continue after his inauguration?
Yeah, if he wants it to, which I think he will. We were in communication, of course, last night with the members of the committee, and we're going to get together now again in the coming days, and we're going to make that recommendation to the administration that both the Catholic Advisory Committee and also the Pro-Life Advisory Committee remain in place, because there are a lot of great leaders on both of these committees. Some of us, like myself, are on both. And yes, we're certainly going to, and I don't see any reason why it wouldn't continue in place.
Oh, yeah, then I'm going to make a plug for EWTN, because so many Catholics, and Teresa, you heard me complaining about Catholics that are sometimes daily mass communicants were voting against life, and these people are just getting the news from the wrong sources, the secular media. The life issue didn't come up once on the secular media outlets I was watching yesterday during the election.
Well, that's not on their radar, but here's the thing, Terry. We need to reach out, and this is what I want to stress this morning, and I know that you agree with me because of your work in the pro-life movement, that we need to reach out to these folks to let them understand that this is not just, quote-unquote, a Catholic thing. And we were talking about this yesterday on the show, if you recall, because when we talk about the church being universal, what the church proposes, as Dick Thompson explains and as the church tells us, is good for all people because it's universal and because it's tied in directly, obviously, to the natural law. So the church is proposing, and this is the betterment for everyone, and this is what we need to do to bring these people in. And in many ways, Terry, there are so many people, and because I was in that camp for so many years away from the church and thinking, you know, that I knew everything under the sun, they have been catechized, as Archbishop Chaput often says, by the culture. And in some ways, they haven't been witnessed to. They have been sacramentalized and not catechized or evangelized. So we have the new evangelization coming up. We have that synod coming up. This is an opportunity, especially right here in our own backyard, to reach out. And Father, comment on Terry's concerns, which we all share, by the way.
Yes. No, this is something that... you know, look, people have to examine their own consciences and realize that, you know, a victory has been won here. They may not have agreed with it. They might not see why we're so happy. But they, you know, it's their responsibility now to pay attention to the issues. Let me raise one other. I mean, if they're practicing Catholics, you know, they should be very happy here about the issues of the freedom of the church. We have now a clear path to get rid of this HHS mandate. We have got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of individuals and groups and churches and ministries like Priests for Life and dioceses, all wrapped up in the courts at every level, including the Supreme Court, still trying to hash out this problem that's been going on now for 5 years, where they're trying to force us to violate our faith by providing abortion in health insurance plans. And it's like, now there's light at the end of the tunnel, because instead of continuing to go back and forth with the administration and continuing to battle this in court, the new president, with a new secretary of HHS, can simply, with the stroke of a pen, take the objectionable services off of the required list. And
that's what I was going to ask you, because we were wondering about that, Father. How quickly can that happen? Because even Mike Warsaw from EWTN, bless his heart, put a statement out yesterday asking for prayers and talking about the issue of pro-life being preeminent and reminding folks of what EWTN, the battle that EWTN and you and others have been in. A lot of people, as Terry said, haven't heard this because the other networks aren't talking about it.
No, that's right. They haven't heard it. And to put it very simply, it is a battle for our very survival to be able to do the work we do. And because if the Obama administration had its way with the original mandate, and we know that a Democratic administration would have continued to support this, they would have, you know, been fining us in astronomical fines simply because we want to do things the way that the faith indicates they should be done, in offering health insurance and in everything else for that matter. You know, we live our faith 24/7. So the point is that now, yes, I mean, this is an administrative thing. The inclusion of the abortions, you see, look, let's back up and give a real quick tutorial here. Obamacare itself, which, of course, that in itself can be repealed and replaced now with the new folks that are going to be in power. But putting that aside, even if it weren't, The provision in the Obamacare legislation is that certain, what are called preventive services, must be included in health insurance plans. Now, in principle, we don't have any opposition to that, because when you say preventive services, you could be talking about cancer screenings. We don't have any problem ensuring and including in our health insurance plans, you know, preventive services to prevent diseases. But what the Secretary of HHS did was included in that list preventive services to prevent pregnancy, so that contraception, sterilization, and even abortion-inducing drugs. So all they have to do at HHS is take those objectionable things out, even if everything else remains the same. It's not a big change, but it's within the power of the HHS. It doesn't require Congress, and it doesn't require the courts. So the president can direct the Secretary of HHS to just get rid of this thing. This is certainly now we have this great result, we can be sure that one of the first things Priests for Life will be doing is communicating with the people in the new administration to see how quickly this can get done.
Thanks for your call, Terry. Appreciate your great questions. 877-573-7825. Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life, who joins us, of course, every week here on Catholic Connection to look at the life issues. And we're talking this morning about the huge upset of the conservatives who are standing up for family and pro-life. And by the way, the Republican Party platform, Father, was the most pro-life and pro-family platform we've seen for years.
The most ever.
No doubt,
that contributed to this victory. People want that.
Let me ask you from a spiritual perspective. This was truly, truly a David and Goliath situation, bar none, because if you look at what was thrown at him, first of all, not just the culture and the mass media, who are obviously in collusion based on what we've learned, and we saw the whole Donna Brazile thing, and that was confirmed, and she was let go by CNN, all these different things that we learned. I've been talking about this. We had so many different stories, and we had another story from the Center for Public Integrity about how the media were financially supporting the Clinton. I mean, it was just over the top in terms of the media. So that was one area. Okay, then they dig up things from his past, and there was some very, very poor choice of words and derogatory comments that he made that he apologized for, and some things that were not very pleasant. So they dug that up, and they threw that at him, which is fair game in politics, let's be fair. And then, of course, you had, of course, the controversy of the WikiLeaks in terms of the corruption. And the money machine that he was up against here, every time he turned around. And then within the Republican Party, people weren't supporting him. Key leaders were walking away. So from a spiritual perspective, I think this says something, that when people come together and that we are serious about our faith, and we get on our knees and we beg for the mercy of God,
I'll say two things about that. There's a spiritual perspective in the sense that, look, there were many prayer campaigns going on here, prayer campaigns.
Yep.
We talked about, of course, ours, the electionprayer.com, and I saw how, because we did conference calls for clergy, and, of course, our priests and our team were out visiting with priests all over the country, and we saw them using this stuff. We saw them leading their people in prayer. So that's one thing. Prayer works. Simple lesson. But also, this is the year of mercy. And we've pointed out on this program, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, mercy.
That escaped my mind, because I'm just reacting to all the stuff going on. It's like, wow.
Yes.
Oh, and the other thing, one of my friends, our friend John Hale from Corporate Travel, he was talking to another mutual friend of ours, and that when he came out, it was the hour of mercy, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And you know, of course, this was not, you know, this was not anything in Pope Francis's mind when he declared the Year of Mercy. But if you look at the dates of the Year of Mercy, it basically coincided with this election year. And it began last December. It finishes a week from Sunday. So the election, it's almost as if the whole electoral for the United States, because World of Year of Mercy, of course, is a worldwide thing, but for the United States, you know, this arc of the Year of Mercy spans the election. And in what sense would this outcome be merciful for America? Well, for her very survival. I mean, we have now an administration and a party in power who believe that the state, the government, cannot infringe on the right to life. Now, that's a different kind of government from one that says it can. And John Paul II called the government that does legalize abortion a tyrant state. So it's not just an issue, it's the whole type of government. The other perspective here is, again, on the spiritual end of the election, is that not only has God had mercy on the country and its future, but he has reminded us something that our founding fathers who believed in the Bible and actually modeled this form of government on biblical principles, what they believed was we govern ourselves. Now, there's a lot of cynicism in politics and regarding politics, and that says, you know, we don't really govern ourselves anymore. You know, people who influence sway because of their money, because of their big political connections, because they're, because they're the Clintons or because they're George Soros or because they're fill in the blank, you know. And we begin to develop this self-doubt. You know, are we really in America a government of the people, by the people,
right,
or for the people, or are we being just led around by, you know, by the nose, by powerful forces? An election surprise like this, a surprising victory like this, reminds us of something, and it's something that Mr. Trump deeply understands. We do govern ourselves. What's decided, what was counted last night, was not the dollars, was not the opinion polls. One thing only was counted last night, the number of votes actually cast for the respective candidates. We govern ourselves. You know, Mr. Middle America, you know, ordinary average citizen who voted for whatever reason he or she voted for, that vote counted exactly the same as yours and mine and Mr. Trump's vote himself. So we govern ourselves, and this is a beautiful lesson and reminder of that, which then goes back to the spiritual duty of really remaining active in this process, because now that we voted and we've got the results, now we have to work with those in office,
right,
and lobby them, and that's all part of it.
And make sure they're doing what they promised to do, and also reach out to those who are very upset this morning and feel like, you know, they've been handed a huge defeat. But really, if we continue to reach out to them, we can show them how this is a victory for everyone, because it goes
good
back
for America.
Again to the,
yes,
it's good for America and goes back to the natural law and who we are as a country founded on godly principles and really being able to embrace the freedoms that are guaranteed by the Constitution. Father, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much. And, oh, my goodness, so much to unpack. And we're going to have to
talk
about Planned Parenthood and
yes,
because this is all on the table now, which it wasn't
is
even a possibility.
And the Johnson Amendment, too.
I was just
going
to say that the Johnson Amendment out the door. Defunding of Planned Parenthood, protection of the Hyde Amendment, thanks be to God. Wow. It's only the first day after this election, so we'll have to, we're going to be busy, Father, but you know what? We have to be out there. We can celebrate today. Celebrate, not
Let's
in a gloating
celebrate.
Way, but in a godly way,
well,
because the family and the marriage and life won last night.
I'm going to gloat a little bit, I'll confess. Listen, we all worked very hard for this. We
yep.
all suffered a lot of unjust criticism for this.
Yep.
Let's really rejoice and celebrate. And like you said, let's reach out and get to work.
All right, Father. Thanks.
Take
Have
care.
A great week. And so looking forward to seeing you down in Washington at the March for Life. It'll be a much different atmosphere this year. And I betcha maybe even Mike Pence or the new president will show up at the march. I think that would be very, very interesting. Okay, it's 8:37 already. Phone lines are open. We'll continue our conversation after our break with Ed Rivett from Right to Life of Michigan, 877-573-7825. It's Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN, the day after the election. Victory for family, for life, for marriage, for everyone, actually. It is a good day. God is good. All the time, all the time. God is good. We'll be right back.
Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
You ask most Catholics what is Rome's most important church, they probably say St. Peter's. In a sense, they're right. These days, St. Peter's is certainly the most celebrated visible church. But near the Vatican, and where the Pope lives and works, there's another more important church, at the Lateran Palace. It's the most ancient seat of government. It's the official Mother Church of Rome, hence for us Catholics all over the world. And today we celebrate its dedication. Many reasons can be chosen for today's Mass. I chose John 2. To be a pure church and a holy church, Jesus wants. You're called to be pure. You're called to be holy. You're called to be consecrated to God. You're called to resurrection. When the Passover was at hand, Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and in the temple he found them selling oxen, sheep, and pigeons, and the money changers at their business. And making a whip, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and oxen, spilled the coins of the money changers, and said, take these things away. You shall not make my father's house a house of trade. And Simon remembered it was written, zeal for thy house will consume me. And that zeal did consume him. Jerusalem was a pilgrimage city, religion was its main business, and for attacking the system, Jesus had to be put down. But God had the last word. He raised him up from the dead. I'm Father Pat Egan, chaplain to Ave Maria Radio, commenting on the readings read today at Mass. You can reach on 734-930-3257. And remember, inspired by the Word of God, you can be more fully alive.
Hi, it's Dan Weingartz. Stay ahead of winter storms with one of our in-stock Toro snowblowers. Toro snowblowers are strong and reliable and clear down to the pavement. And with prices starting at just $359, we have a Toro to fit every budget. For more information, visit Weingartz.com or our stores in Utica, Farmington Hills, Cedar Springs, Clarkston, and Ann Arbor.
Weingartz, Weingartz, everything from lawn to snow.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those that find it are few. This verse from chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel is one of the hard sayings of Jesus. Jesus couldn't be more clear, and yet we want to believe what the world says. Broad is the way to heaven, and almost everyone gets there. Narrow is the way to hell, and hardly anyone ends up there, maybe serial killers. This idea of universalism, that everyone will be saved because they are good people, is just the opposite of what our Lord is saying in the gospel. We can use this idea to justify our lack of evangelization. If everyone is going to heaven, why bother? But if Jesus is serious, it's time for us to become the witnesses we were created to be.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Father Perone promises a nostalgic night of past speakers in history at the Call to Holiness 20th Anniversary Dinner, November 15th at the Sterling Inn Banquet Center in Sterling Heights. The keynote speaker is EWTN's Dale Ahlquist, entertaining speech from the perspective of G.K. Chesterton, The Gentle and Bloody Art of Defending the Faith. Go to calltoholiness.com to register and learn how you can get a Call to Holiness special overnight room rate for just $79. That's calltoholiness.com.
It's Catholic Connection, 8:42. Phone lines are open, 877-573-7825. A lot of praying going on the last couple of months. And by the way, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, a beautiful verse, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Wow. Ed Rivett, Legislative Director for Right to Life in Michigan. I talked to your wonderful boss yesterday for about 20 minutes on the air. Barb Listing was always so calm. I've never heard her, like, you know, off the rails like me. I'm, like, exploding all over the place. And she's like, everything's okay. And we're going to be, we're doing well. We're doing this. We're doing that. You know, we got the ads out there. And they... Wow. Now, you've been at this a long time. Your reaction, first of all, did you expect it to be this overwhelming?
No, I certainly did not. I, you know, like everyone else, can play with that electoral map online, and I thought if Trump was able to win those battleground states, he might win with 276, you know, just barely do it. And so just the fact that he really did wake up and appeal an electorate that I think had become disgruntled and stayed home election after election, and they came out. And they came out in those Midwestern states, I think, who have some stronger seated values that we're comfortable and traditional with. So you saw Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, and we're hoping still that Michigan will still be a red state when all the votes are counted. But I mean, Donald Trump was speaking to an electorate who had been staying home because they believed for so long that it didn't matter who you elected. They promised you one thing and just did the other or did nothing at all. And so Donald Trump was their messenger to say, I'm going to do something different.
If you have a question for Ed Rivett from Right to Life in Michigan, of course, we welcome your phone calls here this morning, 877-573-7825. What do you think did it for Trump? You mentioned reaching out to the electorate, but what about the pro-life vote in terms of how impactful that was? What do you think?
Well, there was certainly a very pivotal moment, I think, for a lot of pro-life voters who were struggling with Trump's candidacy. And we all did. I mean, the moral aspects of his behavior are difficult for many of us. We want a leader, someone that's worthy of following. And I think a lot of people struggled with the idea that he was somebody worth following. But we owe, I think, a debt to Chris Wallace when
he was very fair. Excellent job. Acted as a true journalist in that last debate.
He did, but and the big favor that he did for us was the opening question was on the Supreme Court. The contrast that Hillary Clinton was going to defend abortion on demand and Roe versus Wade with every fiber of her presidential being, and Donald Trump laid it out. He's told us the kind of judges he would appoint in the Scalia mold, and I think a lot of pro-life voters said, you know, I really don't have an option here. I must be sure the Supreme Court does not go into the abyss. And I think that's where the pro-life vote was one element of his coalition. Like any other successful presidential candidate, you have to have a coalition of voters. The voters who put immigration up near the top, the voters who put combating the corruption of government at the top, the voters who put pro-life at the top, they all came together. And I tell you, I stood out in front of the polls for many hours yesterday, and there were people who I knew were coming to vote for Trump who hadn't really put the pro-life issue forward. But when I offered them a list of the pro-life candidates, they said, let me see that. And then they took it in with them. It did matter to them in the end that we were also going to elect a pro-life president.
So take this down to the Michigan level for us, Ed, in terms of what we'll see now, given who's going to be taking over in January. What does this mean for the pro-life cause?
Well, Michigan had a great day in electing pro-life legislators as well. I mean, we had some congressional races that were considered competitive, and they were blowouts in most respects. The Michigan House of Representatives was all up for grabs, all 110 seats. A strong pro-life majority has been elected again to serve in Lansing. You know, we still have a super majority in our Senate here in Lansing. I think this sent a message to Governor Snyder that this is a pro-life state, and so as we bring forward legislation to make sure Planned Parenthood can't sell body parts of aborted babies, we're going to close the door on that.
Yeah, that was the thing that Father Prevone started to talk about, but I wanted to ask you, how quickly do you think we'll see that move in terms of the Republican-controlled Congress and the fact that this was still on the table there? It didn't get obviously much play in the secular press, but is that doable, you think, in terms of really opening up this investigation? I know it's still ongoing, but then defunding Planned Parenthood as well?
Yes, I think the momentum will be there. I remember just a very quick flash of a meme going on Facebook that put a bunch of stalwart pro-life and conservative people as great choices for Trump's cabinet, the Secretary of Defense, or Rudy Giuliani for Homeland Security or what have you, and Trey Gowdy as Attorney General. And just imagine those types of people, whether it's them or someone else. But those kind of people and a very pro-life Director of Health and Human Services say goodbye to the birth control mandate. That's not in Obamacare. That was stuff that was put forward abortion-minded, you know, bureaucrats to tell the little sisters of the poor they have to put birth control in their health care plans. I mean,
right.
This is an absurdity. Those things are going to go by the wayside right away. That is not even something Congress has to do. That is within the power and the authority of the president to say, I'm not interpreting the law to force these religious groups to do these sorts of things. So we are going to see some watershed changes in direction right away, as long as we can trust Donald Trump to do what he said.
We have to keep his feet to the fire. And I think the fact that he chose Mike Pence, who was such a strong pro-life, was a governor amazing in terms of his pro-life views, and was so strong regarding that in the debate he did with Tim Kaine, which was incredible.
Absolutely.
And we have to tell these people, okay, look, you know, we want to change, now you better give us change and hold your feet to the fire.
You know, Kellyanne Conway is as strong of a pro-life person as you're going to find.
Very strong Catholic woman, by the way, just saying.
And she did a magnificent job of running this campaign when she took it over. I think she helped transform it. And I think the message that Donald Trump learned from someone like Kellyanne Conway was you have to message to your base. You have to reassure your base, but you have to deliver to your base. And Donald Trump said that early this morning. He said, you know what, we have to do a great job. It isn't enough to win. He says, we have to do a great job. And so I think he does have a conviction in his mind of what the people voted for was for someone who wasn't going to just make promises until November 8th and then turn your back on them come November 9th. And so if he has that conviction within him, and it seemed to be in his eyes, to know, I have to deliver. Otherwise, I'm just another politician.
Right.
And
I thought his talk last night was very humble. His address was extremely humble, reaching right out to not only Secretary Clinton, but the President, Obama, but also to the people who were against him. And he said, there were so many people who didn't like me, and he kind of chuckled. And he says, you know, and they're still out there, but we need to reach out. That was a very humble talk, I thought.
It was, and I hope that everyone will give him the benefit of the doubt, because, you know, the reality is he was portrayed as a racist and a woman hater and all those things, and that was the media. That was, you know, that's not, in the end, who I think Donald Trump really is as a person. And so, you know, now the media is going to have to, they're going to have to just take him at face value. What is he actually doing? Not just how do they want to create, because they created the image of who he was so he could win the Republican primary.
Well, they're still doing that. I don't know. I was up till 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was slipping over to CNN and MSNBC, and I had to chuckle because it was – I laughed because otherwise I had to cry. There was no, congratulatory tone. It's like, okay, let's see if we can work together. The panelists were just spewing venom and saying that I'm getting texts and people are fearful and people are running for their lives. Oh, come on.
But you know, but you think about it, they made these parallels about the Brexit vote in the UK,
right?
And the sky was going to fall and chaos and everything else. So let's just everybody take a deep breath, let the dust settle. Let's see who he starts to say he's going to name to his administration, and what sort of tone they will take. And you know, quite frankly, in my view, much of the future of what happens in our pro-life movement isn't so much resting with Donald Trump. I trust he's going to name some great Supreme Court justices. But it lies with Paul Ryan. It lies with Mitch McConnell, who I think should say to themselves, boy, were we wrong.
Yes, and recognize how they did not get the pulse of the people. These establishment politicians, whether they're Republican or Democrat, they have to wake up and smell the cappuccino, as I like to say.
Yep. And it isn't so much that they even miss the pulse. It's that Donald Trump is a result of them failing to deliver on their rhetoric.
People have had it. You know,
people have
enough.
Had it.
Ed, we're out of time, and listen, I want to thank you for the great work you consistently do for us in Michigan at Right to Life, RTL.org, and we will be in touch fairly soon, I'm sure, just to kind of still, you know, vet all this and take a look at what's happening in Michigan and on our local level here in the Midwest. Ed Rivett, Legislative Director for Right to Life of Michigan, thanks for all the great work you do and have done, especially for this election. God bless, Ed. Thanks.
Thanks, Teresa.
Again, the website, RTL.org. Sorry we had to wrap up so quickly, but this hour is almost up. When we come back, we'll tell you what's coming up in the National Hour. Looking forward to more of your calls, of course, at 877-573-7825. It is a Wednesday morning, November 9th, 2016. You're listening to Catholic Connection, a co-production of the Ave Maria Radio Network and EWTN. On this, the feast day of the dedication of the Pope's Church, the Pope's Cathedral, the Pope's Basilica, St. John Lateran. Dedication of St. John Lateran. We'll be right back.
The Heart to Heart Apostolate meets this Thursday the 10th at Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor. Come join the members of Heart to Heart for a liturgical New Year celebration where you'll have the opportunity to learn about feast, fast, season, saints, and solemnities. Sample dishes from various holidays, holy days, and cultures. Bring your appetite and bring a friend.
That's this Thursday starting at 7:30 p.m. at Lobby H of Domino's Farms. For more information, go to hearttoheartcwa.com.
The pro-life and the pro-death camps were both rocked last November when Abby Johnson, the director of the Planned Parenthood Clinic in College Station, Texas, resigned after watching an abortion on an ultrasound screen.
And my supervisor said, you know, Abby, you've really got to get your priorities straight. Abortion needs to be your priority because that's where our money is.
Abby Johnson took a journey from Planned Parenthood to pro-life.
I was thinking about all of the women that I had lied to. What if they had known the truth? It's not just some tissue. It is a baby.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting on the Mind of Christ. Following the March for Life, we'll have an interview with Abby Johnson and a very recent talk by John and Mary Lockwood, who experienced the power of God's forgiveness following abortions. Listen to Putting on the Mind of Christ, this and every Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEL, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
These are perilous times for our nation. Many spiritual leaders have requested the faithful to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and to pray the Holy Rosary, both with the prayer intention for the protection of the United States of America. We need to turn to God and plead for His help in these difficult times. Again, let us all pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and the Holy Rosary, both with the prayer intention for the protection of the United States of America.
Hope your Wednesday is going well. 877-573-7825 on this day after the election, November 9th, and we are just kind of walking you through the results, and we really need to still work to turn back the culture of death, because despite some pretty big pro-life victories, it's still there, big time. Colorado winning their assisted suicide measure, so that makes four states now that allow for so-called euthanasia or assisted suicide. And so that's very, very important, and we'll look at these issues as we move through the results of this election. And remember, this is not about gloating. This is about reaching out to everyone and to bring this country together. And Carl Anderson gave a great talk over the weekend, of course, the Supreme Night for the Knights of Columbus, talking about whatever happens, we as Catholics, especially Orthodox Catholics, faithful Catholics, have to do whatever we can to reach out and to evangelize. And we've got the Synod for the New Evangelization that's coming up next weekend in the Archdiocese of Detroit. And our own Archbishop, Alan Vigneron, is working so hard to teach and to educate and to unite. Let's all be a part of that. Let's all reach out and show people how Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And His answers to life are all there. And they're for all people. Okay? The church is universal. It's not just for Catholics. Because it all comes from God. The natural law, made in His image and likeness. We'll be right back. More discussions. Father Mitch Pacwa and Rob Hughes and you. Day after election. Stay tuned.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Our individual and corporate relationships with the Lord, our relationship to the church, the precepts of the church, our relationships with the world and the culture that surrounds us. Father Ricardo discusses these things and more, all from a Catholic perspective on Christ is the answer. Listen to Christ is the Answer Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human